Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning to you, you, and to you. Well, this is your great day. I tell you that Professor Terry Benjamin has back for another, yet another powerful, powerful, dynamic discussion and topic to motivate and empower you. Welcome, Professor Terry. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for asking.
Awesome. 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 Well, this has been a crazy week. I tell you, it's just been, oh my goodness, so many things happening. And I've been on Facebook and I've seen so many posts. I think that your message today is going to really set some people on fire.
I hope so.
Perfect message for a time like this. Your topic, living your unlived life. That's powerful. You know, I think in the aftermath of the Whitney Houston tragedy, where, at 48, to have, it was like so suddenly, and yet she had so many things planned. The things that she had planned to do were spoken from a very, very large platform.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody knew about it. Movie deals, more record deals, all types of new projects spoken of. Even her own daughter had spoken about her career that she wanted to launch into, the singing career. So she certainly was not a person who was at the end of her life, with not much left to live. Not like an 80 or 90 year old person that you could say, boy, they lived their life. Now, she lived her life, no doubt. We can say nothing.
No doubt.
We can say nothing about what she didn't do or didn't do, because we know all our days are numbered. However, We who believe in the Bible know that it talks about you can shorten your time here.
That's true, and also we have to understand that, you know, sometimes although we may do things that are not in harmony with God's purpose for us, we have to pay for that, you know, and sometimes we pay for it by bad health, and sometimes we
yes.
pay for it in death, you know, not to condemn Whitney Houston, but
sure.
I think that she knows, she has so many talents, and they were brought out, but again, she got involved in some things that really weren't good for her. And sometimes, you know, it's hard for us to look at her life and wonder why, you know, she didn't do, you know, she wasn't happy. But you know what? I think happiness is a choice, and it's a choice that we make, not just among ourselves, but also we have to have faith in God, because I think in the final analysis, it's our faith that will move us to our greatness that He has in store for us.
Well,
so we all have the opportunity to be world-class. Whatever we do, and I think that's the lesson of Whitney Houston. I mean, I don't care if you were born in New Jersey, New York, or whatever, you have world-class talent and ability, but you have to develop that and take it to the next level.
Well, that's what you're talking about this morning, living your unlived life. I tell you, it's powerful. It's a wonderful topic. You know, seeing that big picture, living from that place of abundance. So you're going to tell us how to do it, what it takes, so we can get it done, and we can do what we are called to do. So, Terry, take it away, and I'll be standing
thank
by.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, again, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to speak to who knows how many people. But, again, I believe, like you, Lisa, I think that people – that will hear this message are the people who need to hear this message, and also understand that as I relate this message, as I try to deliver the best way I possibly can, I'm also listening myself. You know, I'm trying to get the most out of it as well. But I think one of the things, I guess the first thing, is I want to talk about really something that is important, but it's something that is so, it makes so much sense that I don't know why more people don't pursue it, you know. And basically, I'm going to list it as the three P's. Okay, three P's, and the three P's are, as I see, are persistence, productivity, and prayer. Okay, those three P's, as I see, and I think that. First P is persistence, and I want to go to Napoleon Hill, who I think, again, and you know, this was in the 1930s, said some very profound things that we can still deal with today. And Napoleon Hill said that lack of persistence is a weakness common to the majority of men. It is a weakness which may be overcome by effort. The ease with which lack of persistence may be conquered will depend entirely upon the intensity of one's desire. Again, you know, you persist when you know there's a possibility that you might win. Many of us don't persist because we feel that we'll never win. We'll never get ahead. We'll never get out of debt. We'll never realize our dreams the way we want to realize it. But again, persistence is really dealing also with the law of detachment. I mean, you pray, you work, you worry. But in the final analysis, I think God has good things for us. And again, if we persist in our particular journey, we will be fully rewarded. But that persistence is key. I mean, I don't think anyone has achieved anything without persistence, because there's going to be a time where things don't go right. But that's okay, because, again, sometimes that motivates us to go a little further. And, again, I think with persistence, it really comes down to how much you want it. Also, Napoleon Hill says that weak desires bring weak results. Just as a small amount of fire makes a small amount of heat, if you find yourself lacking in persistence, the weakness may be remedied by building a stronger fire under your desires. Again, motivate yourself more. Look at things that you want to achieve. Look at people who are doing what you want to do. I mean, I'm always reading books by people who inspire me, because I want not their life, but I want to follow in the footsteps of their success. And that was John Maxwell, who said that success leaves clues. It leaves clues. We can follow those clues, but again, we got to be persistent. Also, the second P is productivity. You must be productive. I know so many people, you probably know as well, Lisa, so many people would have a book they've been writing for the past 20, 30 years. It seems that that book is never getting out for some reason. But the thing is that sometimes you have to understand that, you know, we are not about perfection. There was only one perfect man on this earth, and that was Jesus Christ. And he's no longer with us, and he didn't leave anybody in charge of this perfection thing. We're not perfect. So whatever we do is going to fall short in some area. You might have the best idea for the book, but you don't really develop the outline. You might have the best outline. You may produce the best book, but then you can't get the right cover or the right printer. So, again, there is something that we may be lacking, but we shouldn't let that prevent us from moving forward and being productive, because many of us have so many great ideas, but no one will never know because we don't put them out there. And so many people are afraid that they put something out there, somebody's going to take it from them and whatnot. I mean, look, I think people really give themselves too much credit, because there are ideas by the millions out there. And there are people who have taken your idea and took it further. But you know what? It's only because you thought about it, but they did it. And so productivity is really important, because you have to have something to show for your effort. I think that's what sort of pushes people forward to the point where they don't wait for life to happen to them. They happen to life, and they're productive. They can see, they can show people what they're about. And it's so beautiful with productivity. The more you produce, the more people see what you're about, and they might say, well, you know, why don't you try this, why don't you try that? And so your productivity becomes even more evident, not only to yourself, to other people. You know, as Jim Rohn said, you know, it is good to live this life, but you really will not be happy unless you produce something out of your talent, of your abilities. And the final P is prayer. And again, a lot of people are sort of put off by this, because they think prayer is asking for a pie in the sky, and that's just not true. Prayer is really is a form of meditation, is a form of talking to God, because in the final analysis, no matter what we come up with, no matter what we develop, it's always given to us by God. God is the one who plants these seeds in our hearts, and it's up to us to develop them. I was reading a book by Joel Austin called Your Best Life Now, which is 7 steps to living at your full potential. Going back to the fact that, you know, many of us, as Wayne Dyer says, go to our death with our dreams unfulfilled. You know, we still have dance left in us. We still have life left in us, if it's only in our dreams. But I think our prayers is what brings us out. He says in this book here, talking about your best life now, and he talks about him and his wife and the things they want to do. But he says here, I want to quote here, it says here, every time God puts a bigger dream in Victoria and my heart, every time he enlarges our vision, after we pray about it, we sow a seed in faith. We may not just sow a seed by giving out our time to some project, or maybe we'll sow a special offering. Maybe we'll just bless another person in a special way. But we do something to put some faith behind our prayers. And that's the point. I mean, you have to pray, but you have to have the faith that these prayers will be fulfilled. And they will be fulfilled. I think the only thing is that a lot of times we think they should be fulfilled in a certain time, in a certain manner. And that is not the way God works. It says here, the scripture says that when we give, God is able to make it all up to us by giving us everything we need. And more so, there will be not only be enough for our needs, but we have plenty left over so that we can give joyfully to others. You know, God has promised us that when we give, he will give back to us then some more. But we have to give. We have to have the faith that everything will work out for the best. And many of us are afraid to make a move because we don't know how things are going to work out. But again, if it's righteous, it will work out. And Joe Austin goes on and says, friend, if you want to live your best life now, Don't hoard what God has given you. Learn to sow in faith. Remember, when you give, you're preparing the way for God to meet your needs now and in the future. When you are generous to others, God will always be generous with you. And again, I mean, I think that at this particular point, we really need to be friends with God, because I think that I always laugh when people talk about Gayle King and they say that Gayle King is Oprah's best friend. Well, I think at this particular point, you know, we need to be friends with God. One of the things that sort of turned my life around and had me thinking in a different direction was this book by B. Courtney McBath. It's entitled Living at the Next Level, Transforming Your Life's Frustrations into Fulfillment Through Friendship with God. And, you know, when you're friends with somebody, you want to hang around with them, you want to talk to them. And basically prayer is just talking to God about the things that we want, the things that we need, the things that we want to do in harmony with His will. And again, these are not things that are not so so hard, because again, we know that if we do these things, that we will be rewarded. And then and it's faith. You know, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, but not yet seen. I mean, there are so many things that we don't know how it's going to work out, and let's see. But when we pray, we see a vision of possibilities. And when you put some faith behind that, that's like the engine that really pushes the things that we want. And again, and people say, well, you know, how much faith do we need? And they said that you can have the faith of a mustard seed, and that will move a mountain. So again, we just have to wake up. And I want to just share this. This is from the book I was just telling, Living at the Next Level. This is Courtney McBath. And sometimes we don't know when God is shining a light on us, but we really need to wake up to that. And he says here, when God turns on the light, you can't sleep on it. You can't play with it. You got to wake up. And waking up is not a group activity. When God turns the light on in your life, you may be the only one who sees it. Your friends may be oblivious to the light, and they should be. What God is doing in your life may not be their issue right now. There's no need trying to get them to believe or see it. They can't see it. That's why they're looking at it like you've lost your mind. You're the only one seeing the light and the angel, because you are the one God is releasing. There comes a time when we must understand God's will for our lives and respond to the light ourselves. When the light comes on, as much as it may shake you, irritate you, and throw you out of your comfort zone, please respond. You don't want to stay in the prison, do you? By all means, wake up. And I think that waking up is really giving thanks to the one who really can put you not on the ordinary path, but the extraordinary path. And again, he's given us life, and he wants us to live that life in a way that's not only beneficial for ourselves, but also beneficial for everybody else. Now, again, you can worry, you can work, and you can pray, but in the final analysis, it is God that is going to give us what we need. And I just want to read this last quotation and just sort of sum things up. And it says here, and this is from the same book by Courtney McBath. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about, again, what we need to do to be happy. And it says here, you must stop fretting about the future. Quit worrying about how everything is going to turn out. Live one day at a time. Better yet, make the most of the moment. It's good to have a big picture outlet to set goals, to set a budget and make plans, but if you're always living in the future, you're never really enjoying the present in the way God wants you to. And so they say again, you know, we can't do anything about the past. We don't know what the future will be, but we can deal with the present. Okay? And although I talk about these three P's, persistence, productivity, and prayer, maybe we can add a fourth P, and maybe that P can be present. And maybe we can really go to the words of John Maxwell, who says we must make today count. And he says the secret of our success is determined by our daily agenda, what we do every day, the small things that we do can lead to a better life. And again, like I said, you know, in the final analysis, you know, again, it's persistence, productivity, and prayer. And again, you know, I would say I don't have all the answers, but you know what? I try different things, you know, and I find with those three things that I keep that in mind, and I keep my faith knowing that it will work out for the best. I'm not anxious. I'm not worried, you know, and I'm relaxed in the faith, in the belief that it will be better day by day for my family, for my friends, and for my fellow believers, you know. And on that note, I'm just in, and we can talk about that.
Well, yeah, that's good. You know, we think about being a big thinker, and we're thinking big. We're challenging our assumptions. We're challenging some of our belief systems, some of these beliefs that we just picked up from our family members or whomever was raising us as children. We took on their beliefs about living your dream, their beliefs about whether a person should utilize their talents, gifts, skills, and abilities, hone them, whether you should, you know, go at it one day at a time or always, you know, looking to have something that you don't have and worried about that.
Well, you know, I never said worry do anything but just make you more anxious. I mean, when you're sitting there worrying, you should be making some plans. Maybe you should be praying, because I think worry tears you down. I mean, I that's the only thing I see good from worrying. I mean, it's a worrying plan, you know, plan to do something, but because worrying, I see people get frustrated. I see people fall down. I see people not wanting to get up. I see people not wanting to get out of bed because of worry. But the final analysis, I mean, worry does nothing.
No, worry
is a really useless activity.
Yeah, and like you said, it can tear you down. It can destroy all that you've worked hard for. So, because even if you have sometimes even people, that's why we see people that are very, very, very rich, you know, money rich, material rich, then they have to worry about their money. Who's going to rip me off? Who's trying to, you know, get over on me? Who's trying to? So they bring on a lot more worry for themselves when they don't have to. So, you know, I'm glad that you're here every Tuesday bringing up this topic about living your best life now, about how, you know, take your time, be persistent, be productive, and talking about the prayer. Excuse me. But, yeah, so this is very good. People need to hear this message.
It's funny, but about prayer, I mean, we have to understand that, you know, and we know this. I think when, you know, prayer, I think revelation comes within. And I know any revelation that I've had has always been a situation where maybe I read something, maybe I've seen something, and it touched something that was already inside of me. I don't think that it's anything outside of ourselves. I think it's inside ourselves, and we go into that prayer mode when we go into that deep, what I call deep meditation, and we pour out our heart to someone who really can help us. I mean, we can talk to our family and friends, and that's all well and good and whatnot. But, you know, in the final analysis, they can never do for us what God can do for us, and we don't know what God has in store for us. And it's so funny, you know, when someone told me once, he said, if you want to make God laugh, make plans. And halfway believe that, you know, because I think we do need to make plans. But I think, again, we have to, as Quincy Jones says when he's in the recording studio, when he was working with Michael Jackson and all the other great people that he worked with, he said, you know, we do as much as we can, but we leave room for God.
Oh, yes.
We leave room for God to step in. And I think what happens, we get so busy in our lives that, and it's so funny because we keep on thinking that it's all about us. It is all on us. And I think that's where we make a big mistake, you know.
Right. Well, yes. Yes.
You know?
He does give us, yeah, we do. He does give us free will. And yes, we do have to make plans, and faith without works is dead. We realize that. We do have to take action, but at the same time, we have to have this ability to know that every step that we take, that we want his backing, okay? And that's what we call, me and myself and my sister, we call being in the center of God's perfect will. So And yes, and we get up and we make probably, I know I make probably more plans than a lot of people, but not making them, absent understanding that it is his will that I'm making the plans around.
Right, because again, I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't believe that God would give us an idea or give us a talent if he didn't want us to share it. And one of the things that I want to get back to Whitney Houston on, and I think that one of the biggest lessons from her life is the fact that here's a young lady from who was born in North New Jersey, lived in East Orange, New Jersey, and became a world-class personality. And I believe that you and I and others who are involved in the type of thing that we're involved in, we are really world-class people. I think it would be selfish of us to think that our talents and abilities are just from Newark or New York or Philadelphia. I mean, because of Whitney Houston, and I think one of you, I watched the whole service, all 4 hours. And the thing that sort of struck me was that as I was watching it, the world was watching it. As a matter of fact, I love what Pastor Marvin Weiner says. He says that Sister Houston brought church to the world.
Well, you know what? And a lot of, you know, that's all good and fine, and which is not what is Jesus brought church to the world. But here's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, see, people, that's where people are going to get mixed up again. Everybody wants credit for what we're doing, and we're not doing nothing.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Jesus brought church to the world. And here's the other thing, too. He also said that the world is not of me. See, we're talking to people, and yes, we're letting people know about the goodness, what he did for us, and how he turned our lives around. So the world is never going to buy into what we even think we can talk about with the Lord, because God said it best. He said, the world and me are at enmity. That's my enemy.
Yeah.
You don't no more bits expect to turn your enemy towards you than your enemy turn you toward them. Here's the thing is that what we have to, you know, I believe what we have to do is that we have to continue to use every platform we can. Whitney Houston funeral, it could be a Michael Jackson funeral. It could could be your one moment on Oprah's platform or whatever.
Yes.
We use that moment now to show people the love. We should continue to show it because that's what we're supposed to do in this hour. This is the hour of love, showing love. And for that, yes, Whitney did bring the love to the world because she showed love for her daughter.
Yes.
In that one moment, and you know, to a lot of degree, I'm saying not, she didn't love her daughter, but I'm saying she showed the world how much love she had for the local church. She could have had her funeral at an arena that is so, she could have had it at a stadium.
Of course.
Okay, and millions would have come out. People would have. She didn't. She chose to have it in a very local place, very small. New Jersey, and so she showed some love, and that, to me, is what she showed to the world. Now, unfortunately, not saying that that's not church, because for some people, they know in their churches, they don't always love. So this way, now people can say, oh, you know what, I'll go to church. There's some loving people in the church.
Yeah, I like that. But, because I agree with you. I think, again, it was shown the love that, you know, can be found among, you know, those people who realize that, you know, we're only here for a short time. And you had so, quote, unquote, famous people in that church, and they were just, you know, telling us about Whitney and that type of thing. But I think, again, I just want to see us, you know, not take our talents and not play small with them. That's all I'm saying. I guess it comes down to just being willing to share.
You know what? You know, we are going to lose people who are not listening by phone, so I just want to let people know you will not hear the last few minutes of the show, but you can go back and listen to the archives. We're only taped for a half-hour show, unless you can dial in the next 3 seconds You're welcome to do that. 347-945-7991 to continue listening. We just wrap up in a few minutes, but you can listen to the last few minutes of the segment via the internet. When you dial back in, go back onto the website. And, you know, Terry, this message is just really a good one for people to hear. We have to tell people that now is the time. Use your talents and gifts. Be that vessel that, you know, that God is using. You know, certainly, and like when you said, not that you said, but I've heard people say, and, you know, and she made it big. Well, there are some that would say she was made big. Most of us who are anywhere around the entertainment industry know that you don't make anything. It's people will make you.
Exactly.
And my mother, Barbara Branson, God bless her and rest her soul, she said, my mother told us, and we didn't even really have a whole lot, but we were kids, she told us, if they make you, they can break you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's true.
And she raised us with that concept and that mindset that don't be so quick to let folk make you. Now, for the most part, I thought she was talking about men because she had five daughters, and as we were dating, get with a guy who tells you he can do all this for you and do all that and do all that. Go out there and do some stuff for yourself. And that's why, you know, sometimes we see some entertainers will keep very low-keyed, and sometimes you wonder why. They could have it all, too. But why?
Right.
Probably know that if they let these people give them, and it's the same thing in the church. There have been many pastors that have gone that same road. When you let others make you, now they call the shots, and that's what my mother would eat. And when they say we're done, guess what? They're done.
You're done. That's true.
You're not ready to.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have a way out. But you probably will turn to drugs or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but again, I think when you have that friendship with God, you know, you always have somebody, you know, who has your back, you know, and it's so funny, and it's just, you know, and I think my point also is the fact that, you know, again, and we're talking about being sexy at 60, but also understand that life does not end until it ends, you know. A lot of times people start slowing down before it's time to slow down, and they end before it's time to end. But I think as long as we live, as long as we have the life within us that has been given to us by God, we have the ability, we have the potential to really realize our dreams, and it's not too late.
It's not too late. The time is now. And I was with some couples in New York yesterday, and I was telling them about you and your project.
Oh.
And so I hope they tune in and listen to the show. Just want to give them a shout out, give our callers, our listeners a shout out for today. But I told them about your project, and the one lady, she's 61, she says, I want to be in. I want to be a part of his Sexy at 60 project. I says, okay, well, I'll tell him about you. And she says, no, I got to lose 10 more pounds, but when I do.
tell the spirit is there. You know, we want the spirit.
An amazing. You'll see them on my page in the album, and they live in California, so I'm not sure when they're coming back to the East Coast, but so that's one of the challenges there. It would definitely not be a live interview, but I don't know, you camera people know how to hook all that stuff up.
Well, that's the thing, because you know, with the technology right now, you know, hey, we can make
something
very special.
Sure, you could do what you want these days. You probably can do video camera via GPS or something.
You know it.
You know. But wonderful, wonderful discussion today. I mean, you always tie a lot of things together, which are great, because now you bring in scripture, you bring in John C. Maxwell, you bring in something from Dr. Dennis Kimbrough
All great people, all great mentors, and we need mentors at this time in our lives. You know, we really do.
Yeah, and that's wonderful, because certainly, you know, you have done enough research and have created enough of your own things, but you bring in all these great mentors, leaders that have talk about the secret, they have given secret to long life and health, and I'm just amazed. And I mean, we know if we, I always say, if I can know these things, you know, a girl from the ghettos of Cincinnati,
oh, man, please, yeah,
a high school dropout, if I can know these things, you know, it makes you wonder why some people who do have so much riches, why they don't know. So it could be, you know, a lot of reasons. We don't have time to discuss all the reasons why.
There's many.
to live this best life. And that means now certain things that we are not able to do because of the life we want to live. You know,
yes.
I think all the time, you know, I say, oh, should I do that? And then I think, well, do I want to be 55, 65, 75, or 85, you know, that kind of thing. Can't eat that today, you know. But certainly none of us know exactly, you know, what we're doing to prolong our lives. But I think, like you said, if we do just a little bit each day, you know, we do a little bit each day, we stay persistent, we keep that dream alive, you know, that thinking big is, you know, we have to think about the greatness that is in us. For me, that's what thinking big means.
Well, that's what it is.
Realize the greatness that's in us, realizing we have great potential,
realizing
a great source behind us who is rooting for us.
Oh, says, no doubt about it.
He says, I made you in my image. I'm rooting for you to be a success. I'm not against you. I'm not trying to stop you at everything you do. You know, some people had those parents and everything they said, the parents said, no, you can't do it. No, we have the exact opposite. He's rooting for us. Sometimes he does tell us no, exactly, when he knows it's something that's going to be harmful to us. But anything that he knows is going to enhance us, grow us, he's like, have at it, even if it's a bad thing. If he knows it's going to develop us and grow us.
Yeah. And that bad thing may turn into good things. I know one of the things that I'm working on right now, I mean, I've produced a lot of books that I could not sell at any kind of Christian gathering, so I'm rerooting my mind to think of what things if I go to a church or a spiritual retreat, what kind of product could I sell? And I'm more interested in that now than what I've done in the past. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about life, is that you can always turn things around. You know, I did one thing, but now I'm trying to do something else. It's going to take a little longer, but I want to, you know, again, I don't want to say things and not be about what I'm saying. So again, so now I have a lot of things that I've written that I'm not even selling anymore. You know?
Wow. And, you know, Terry, having been there with you before this transition, I'm like dancing over here.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'm like dancing, shouting, you know, you name it, because it's one thing when you meet someone once they're already, you know.
Yeah.
Been doing all that. And it's another to meet someone before, and if they never do. But when you meet someone that once was lost and now found, it is the most best thing in the world. That's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, I'm taking a loss on some things that I've put in plan and some things that I've abandoned. But I think I'm looking for the greater good and the greater purpose in the final analysis. I mean, it's not about me. You know,
and it's worth, but the loss is so worth it. It's it's like, well, because we all, and then when we think about what we stand to gain.
Yeah. Well, that's the point. That's the point, and I don't mind giving up to gain the best. So, like I said, there's going to be a lot of changes, and people are going to say, well, you don't write those kind of books anymore that I like. And I say, well, I'm sorry, I can't. I can't, in good conscience, promote that, okay?
I understand. Oh, I'm like, I can't wait. Now, you see, I did last March, I did a Christian Writers Expo conference thing.
Wow.
So I didn't do it this year, but boy, oh boy, if I did, you'd be my number one author. But,
I think at my age and whatnot, you gotta be willing to be wrong, you know. You gotta be courageous enough to say, you know what, maybe I didn't see things the right way, you know. Maybe I I was misled, and maybe I misled others, but you know what? I would have to continue to do that.
Well, you see, and that's a beautiful thing. It says when you know, that's when you can make that change. And so, you know, God has promised us that He will not hold us accountable for what we don't know. Now you know. And so none of us come to Him. He comes to us. And so we don't have to worry about, did I come too late? There's no such thing. Because none of us makes that decision to come to Him. He comes to us. And then we receive Him. So
I guess that's true.
Jesus knocking at the door. So that's the beautiful thing, you know, when you teach people, they don't have to feel, you know, guilty about, oh, you know, what happened to my life? I didn't spend my life. We want people to come earlier because we want them to have all this fun as early as possible.
Of course.
I think this is a boring, hard, sad life, but this is so much fun and you know, it's exciting. But people don't know that, but so we have to tell them. They may not believe us, but they'll believe us more if we're acting like we're having fun.
Mm-hmm. And again, I believe that, you know, I always tell, you know, my children, I said, you know, sometimes you got to be a sermon rather than teaching a sermon. And so people
exactly.
just say, no, man, you look younger, you know, it's just, what are you eating? So, you know, what is your diet? You know, I mean,
hey.
I mean, I what you change from inside is reflecting on the outside.
You keep serving Him with vigor and vitality, you're going to probably end up looking like you're 20 years younger. Oh, yes,
I'll take that.
He's a God of restoration.
I don't know about it.
That's one of His chief attributes, is that He restores. And, that's why you hear a lot of people in the church will say, I don't look like what I've been through. Because He restored them, and He can do it like nobody. You don't need Max Factor or these fancy doctors and none of that. He will, I'm telling you, He's a great surgeon.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot of people get older or look older because of their worry. I mean, at this point, I don't worry about anything. I mean, I know that everything is going to be all right if I'm moving in the right direction.
With
but
Him, you
really... I mean, I'm living a life. I would have to duck and dodge
because He told us not to. And if we're going to obey, I remember even Pastor Marvin was preaching from that, Matthew 6:25, consider the lilies of the field. They don't even, he was preaching, don't worry about what don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink.
Don't worry about what you eat and drink because that's taken care of, yeah.
He's already got that. He said, He got you. So you really don't have to worry. People only worry because it becomes a habit. They saw mom.
It does.
Might have saw their parents worry a lot, and they pick or parents. And so they picked up those bad habits. That's why we want you to come into the show. We're going to dehabitize you and get you some new habits.
Okay.
All right. Habits. The ones that don't serve you. Well, we have about a minute left, so we are going to end the show here. Again, thank you for those of you who stayed with us these last few minutes. Others will be able to listen to the archive. Congratulations again on all the, you know, things that you're doing. Terry, as
you
go
forward
in your work and your Sexy at 60, Thinking Big, Abundant Living, I tell you, when they have you over there at your church speaking and preaching, I better get an invite.
Oh, you will.
You'll well, be let me find out later that it happened. I'm one of the lady.
No. Yeah. It's so funny. One quick note. Derek Luke was in Rahway preaching a sermon, you know, talking about you know, his career and how, you know, God has moved in many ways. So, again, you never know who you might meet, and you never know what the testimony might be. But you know what? Everybody's just living and growing and changing each and every day.
Well, you're going to have, I think you should do a nice Christian book, and I'll inbox you the title of it. But I think that would be a very, very powerful book for you to use. And one book, are you going to write many, so many? Oh, my goodness. But
well, it's probably developing because, like I said, I put a lot of other things to the side, you know.
God never wastes a talent, ever.
I don't think so.
Ever. Because he gave them to us to use for him anyway, so.
Anyway, it's all his.
Exactly.
You know?
And he gave it to us or the building up of the kingdom. So you're going to write for the kingdom, that's for sure. But your first project, who knows what will be your 100th one? We don't know. But I'm going to
We don't know.
Just one to you.